Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
One more knee will do it at the Houston 14-yard line. 40 seconds to go. Mahomes gets under center, takes a knee. It is over at Arrowhead Stadium. The Houston Texans fall to the Kansas City Chiefs 27-19. So the Texans lose to Kansas City and look forward to Christmas Day in just a few days to take on the Baltimore Ravens. A costly day as far as injuries go, and the Texans take the L along the way, dropping their record to 9-6.
Yeah, that Mark hit it. That was Mark Vandermeer on the call. He hit it on that last part there. Welcome in, everybody, on a Reaction Monday. Hope you had a great weekend other than that game. As Christmas just a couple of days away, as we welcome you in on a Monday, a Reaction Monday to Payne and Pendergast, Sean Pendergast alongside Seth Payne. And Seth, at the end of that day, I didn't even care what the final score was. I think the Texans, in terms of what it sounded like all week, they were looking to accomplish in terms of the game itself, I feel like they did. It sounded like all week the goal was just to see how they stood in with the Chiefs, and they did stand in with the Chiefs. They had a possession with 5 minutes to go, with a chance to tie the game, and as most of the second half went, they didn't do that. But I didn't even care about the final score. The Tank Dell injury looms, over everything.
The Tank Dell injury especially, because in the first half, it felt like, oh, okay, they're doing some things. It wasn't like they were a rolling ball of death or anything, but they were connecting with Tank Dell. I think because of the injuries in the secondary, Spagnuolo wanted to play a little bit more zone than he typically does, and they took advantage of it. The Texans totally took advantage of it, and including on that pass to Dell, that was a great play. And then you get into the second half, and they're able to blitz deeper into the second half. Yeah. The Chiefs were able to blitz. Texans can't handle it, and really the sum total of it is you look at the difference between the Chiefs and the Texans. With or without their best players, man, you get into the fourth quarter, you get down in the red zone, it's first and goal on the 10, and somehow it ends up third and 20. And you can't live that way. You can't be taking delay of games. You can't be running out of bounds for a 5-yard loss when you could just throw the ball away. All these little details, and then the other big difference is just the negative run plays, the negative plays in general.
About the screens,
because the screens, yeah, the wide receiver screens were like a bad run play. The Chiefs aren't starting out 2nd and 10, 2nd and 12 nearly as often as the Texans are.
Nope.
And so they're worlds apart in terms of their entire operation offensively.
That is a clean operation over there, man. I don't care what the numbers say, and you cited these numbers quite a bit last week, appropriately so, that, hey, you know, offensively, these are two very similar teams this year in terms of output. You watch that game, you go, no, these are two very dissimilar teams in terms of knowing what needs to get done in order to move the football, score points, and win games.
And the wide receiver screens are just that's a rolling ball of delight is what that is.
For the other team, it's a rolling ball of pastries for the Chiefs.
Here the other go. Man, and it's a quick turnaround. So today's like normal Friday.
Yeah, right. They play in 2
everybody.
Days.
So did you flush that one? The Texans have no choice but to flush it. The other, but then the injuries are the other big part of that game. The biggest, most devastating thing emotionally, obviously, is Tank. And who, again, did he have 6 receptions?
See, the last reception was his 6th reception for 98 yards.
Which I believe ties his season high for receptions.
6 or 7. So he had one other big game this season. Yeah. I think it was when Nico was out. Yeah, was it the Jets?
Yeah,
he had a big game against the Jets. Yep.
So he had matched his production through just early into the third quarter. And
that was the Tank from last year.
That was
the Tank from last year.
So the Steelers and Ravens game, since that's relevant as well, I think in looking at the Steelers in that Ravens game, I know if all you did was look at the final score, you think, oh, the Ravens just destroyed the Steelers. That was a very close game, and it went back and forth. The beginning of the fourth quarter was crazy.
See, it was crazy.
Multiple turnovers.
It was crazy. And similar to the Texans, the Steelers had the ball with just a few minutes to go in the game, and Russ throws a pick six.
It ends up coming down to, okay, who's the better quarterback in this game? But what I would say about the Steelers was, man, the Steelers were rolling a lot of times with Ben Skoranek, Pruitt, who's like their fourth string tight end.
Who was in Texans camp this
year. Oh, my gosh, Sean. I mean,
Skoranek would be their second best wide receiver
like
right now.
Van Jefferson caught a touchdown. Kelvin Austin was a huge factor in this game. They're doing more with less. And if I come out of that game and I'm a Steelers fan, there's no George Pickens. Hey, I know George Pickens is coming back. I would actually feel like, all right, we still got a puncher's chance.
Just don't throw a
in
pick
the playoffs.
Six. Yeah. On the road, you know.
Yeah.
They're still leading the division, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
The Steelers are. They got the tiebreaker.
So the Ravens have something to play for.
Yes.
But also just, man, there's a difference in conjuring up the optimism for the Steelers compared to the Texans.
No doubt.
And I don't know who the Texans rest is. You want to rest people? Who?
Yeah.
I don't know who you rest.
You're bringing
There's nobody
up,
left.
No. They are banged up. And if Tank Dell hadn't gotten hurt, we'd be talking about Jimmy Ward today. You know, Jimmy Ward got hurt. They're all out for this game.
Shaq Mason. Yeah, this short week. The worst possible outcome for this short week was all the injuries.
So the Tank is the big one. That's the one that, I mean, obviously just the optics of it that hit the emotional cord, particularly with C.J. Stroud. Here was Ian Rapoport yesterday on the NFL Network with the update on Tank Dell.
One of the scarier injuries we have seen Tank Dell with that acrobatic touchdown catch. Comes down a little friendly fire from his teammate. You could see obvious pain dealing with a knee injury. And my understanding is this is a dislocated kneecap for Tank Dell, which is why you could see teammates immediately say, don't move, because the kneecap was, frankly, not where it was supposed to be. And if you move your leg, if you bend it, you can do serious damage. Tank Dell was transported immediately to University of Kansas Medical Center to stay overnight. That is where he remains, mostly as a precaution, wanted to make sure he had the best care possible, taking him to a trauma one center, a tier one center. That is where he remains. He has not had surgery yet, to my knowledge. It is still possible, but it has not happened yet. It is unclear when Tank Dell will be able to return to the field. He is, safe to say, right now out indefinitely. So the Houston Texans will be moving forward without one of their star receivers.
Okay, so we should make it clear. That report was from yesterday morning. Tank is back in Houston now.
Yeah.
He's back in Houston now. They are still, the rest of that report all holds up because they are still, I think, determining, you know, the damage, the full extent of the damage, what the next steps are. I don't want to speculate recklessly or anything like
that. I don't
want to
speculate
like
at all. Yeah, I mean, if it was, I wouldn't want to say just, but air quotes, just a dislocated kneecap, that's a better prognosis. But obviously, sometimes the dislocated kneecap is part of a lot of other stuff that could go on. And I will. I honestly.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fact that Tank held on to that ball, when he like very clearly knew that something was wrong right away, a tip of the cap to him
yes.
for that.
Yeah.
I was on the field once when, I was on the sideline when Fred Taylor is a tough dude. He's really tough. I know he got injured a lot, but he's a tough dude. He tore his groin in the middle of a play mm-hmm. when he went to go make a cut.
Mm-hmm.
And threw the ball to the ground. He like kind of just like he was like,
really?
You could see where it's going. He just like threw it like, get it away from me.
Okay.
You caused me so much pain.
Okay.
So like that's
Tank.
Fred's not, Fred is not soft whatsoever. It's just like in that sometimes with those really traumatic things, your brain just goes to mush.
Yeah.
Tip of the cap for that. Obviously that doesn't matter at the end of the day. But it could be any number of things right now. So from something that might just be a few weeks in rehab if all it were was a dislocated kneecap, but it feels like, D'Amico yesterday called it a significant injury.
CJ was actually asked about Tank holding on to the football. This is like the eighth question of the press conference after what was clearly an emotional press conference for CJ Stroud.
I guess. Yeah. It's not, don't overthink. It's the least of all. You know what I'm saying? So, don't worry about it. It's okay.
So what did he ask?
I think he asked just about what he thought about Tank holding onto the ball going to the ground. And if you watch the whole press conference, like it was a grind for CJ going through that press conference. All the questions were about Tank. We saw CJ on the field, and you get to all these questions about his best friend possibly missing. You know, definitely missing this year. Maybe missing. Who knows? Who knows? And then you get to, what do you think of him holding onto the football? CJ's like a. You know, I can see in his mind, like, we lost the game. Didn't really matter, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I know some people thought that that question was out of line. I didn't, I thought it was.
I definitely didn't think it was out of line. And I don't think CJ was out of line either, answering it. You know, it's just, he's answering it. Here's CJ immediately, first thing in the press conference, being asked about Tank going down.
All you can do is really pray, So, at the end of the day, God still gets the glory, Always, no matter what happens to me, I always know that I'm even up here because of the grace of Jesus and the grace of who he is in my life and Tank's life. So for anything, how it goes, left or right or up or down, I always have to praise my Lord and Savior. It's not easy, you know what I'm saying? But after that, you know, I try to use it as motivation, you know, and it's not easy to, you know, just let it go, you know, especially that's my best friend, you know what I mean? So not easy to move on and just keep playing, but I try to do as best as I could. And my teammates helped me up, you know, Joe helped me up, Dalton, you know, so I appreciate those guys just talking to me because, you know, I was going through it. So I appreciate them just, you know, being there for me.
That was after that answer started after what was probably, it felt like 10-second pause.
Yeah.
When he was asked that. You can tell, if you watch the video, to the very beginning of the press conference, CJ was really having to kind of, I think, gather himself, think of what the right words were. But that was a tough scene on the field, man. That was tough watching
it was,
CJ and whatnot.
You know, and I think, you know, it's, there's, you know, obviously CJ was very emotional afterwards. And that was that was polarizing to a lot of people.
It was. Yeah. It was. The only thing I would say about that is CJ was doing some things after that that were uncharacteristic of him.
Yeah.
With the delay of game penalties.
Yeah.
Running out of bounds, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, so there were things where you could carve together a narrative that he maybe was still like emotionally distracted in
yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah, or there was some kind of funk or something.
I mean, this just in, they've been in a funk in the second half all season long.
I would prefer, because you just have no idea, you know, exactly how that affects everything. I think there is something, like, I'm not over the top criticizing anybody for anything or what have you, but like, there is that element of, you know, bad things happen in a football game, and your leadership guys have to be, you know, ideally very stoic
and
forward-looking and all of that. And so it causes me concern just in that, like, I don't want to sound like a monster here, but there is a little bit of detaching yourself from normal human emotions when you're in the middle of something like that, over time, maybe is something that will change.
He's 23.
So you can't criticize people's emotional responses to any given thing. You never know exactly how you're going to respond. But it was a unique situation.
Yeah. It's a good way to put it. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday.
Remember Jim Mattis, the general, he was the chief of the forces
no.
over there. He was telling us.
I don't.
He was the main guy over in the Gulf War, the most recent Gulf War.
Okay.
But I remember reading a story he was telling about in the first Gulf War in Desert Storm, how they're, you know, they're rocketing towards Baghdad, and they faced some kind of resistance, and like one of his best friends in the world was rocketing alongside him in a tank, and boom, the tank got what he thought was taken out, and he had to tell himself, like, all right, just focus, mission.
Yeah.
Like, that's an extreme example
of course.
Everything, but that is the mode of, there's a certain, you got 52 other guys out there that are also under your responsibility.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. All right, we're off and running on a Reaction Monday. We will certainly react more to the Texans. 713-572-4610. You want to hit us on the text page?
By the way, his buddy turned out all right.
Okay, good.
Mattis's buddy.
Happy ending.
Yeah.
All right.
And spoiler alert, they took Baghdad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, thanks a lot. I was going to watch that on TV tonight. Yeah. All right. Let's circle over to the Astros for a minute. We'll get back to the Texans. But yet another big deal made on a Friday afternoon. It was a Kyle Tucker trade 2 weeks ago. This one makes me feel a whole lot more optimistic about the upcoming season. We'll talk about that coming up next.